Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I have a great idea for our podcast.
Great. What is it?
Dramatic pauses. Okay, Patrick, I know by the time people hear this, they will have heard a lot about Suburbs Fest already.
Yeah,
but for us, it's still pretty fresh as we're recording this.
Yep.
And it's kind of weird to see Mike Coley on the screen. I want to have him right here.
I know.
Right here on the chair next to me, like he was a week ago.
It was amazing. Really was. And Mike, man, so great that you came down. You know, you've contributed so much to this community and everything, and also to your own musical community. I mean, in many ways, you inspired us to, you know, think local and whatever the phrase is, you know, let it go global or whatever. And so it was so great to see you. And I want to thank you for not only coming down, but also being a patron of our show, which is kind of the topic for tonight's chat.
Yep. And Mike wrote an article about Suburbs Fest that he published on 315music.com.
That's right.
That's it. Yep.
That's it.
We shared that out in our newsletter, folks, which you can get by going to suburbspod.com. It's free.
Appreciate that.
And also, you have a great way with words, Mike. It was really well done. I will message you privately to talk about the way you described Winkipslow's performance. I had a few problems with your adjectives. No. Totally kidding. I'm so glad we even got mentioned. It was beautiful.
That's great. Okay, so anyway, the show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us today for a patron episode is Mike Coley in Rome, New York. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely.
How far of a drive is it from Rome, New York to the D.C. area?
I think it took us a little over 6 hours with a couple stops here or there. It was smooth sailing until we got to the suburbs.
Yeah.
And then there was traffic.
Jesus, it's traffic hell around here.
As soon as you hit
here,
Maryland, then you're like,
God,
it's all over.
Yeah, we got hung up in a little bit of traffic here.
You hit like Germantown, and then you're done.
Okay, so patron episodes, you get to pick the topic, Mike. And what are we going to talk about today?
All right, so this topic came up. Another patron of the podcast and friend of the podcast lives down in your area. Tim Hoffman came up to the Northeast this summer, did a little road trip on his own, visited a whole bunch of places up in the Northeast. So anyways, on that trip, it's about a 3-hour drive from Rome. On the way home, Tim sat in the passenger seat. Elena was all about taking the back seat so she could spread out and just crash
zonk
for the whole ride home. Yep. So obviously, you know, when we all get together, all us music geeks, we talk music. And so when you guys aren't around and us patrons get together, we talk about what kind of future patron episodes we're going to talk about.
Cool.
Is there like a council or something, or like a patron council meeting?
Yes, there is. Yes,
secret.
It's kind of like the Jedi Council.
Passwords and handshakes and stuff.
If it's the suburbs, it has to be the Neighborhood Association. You guys got to start paying dues. Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
We have to start paying dues to them.
That's right.
So that's where Tim mentioned to me that he was going to do Los Lobos.
Which he did, and it was great.
And he did that recently.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he just did that recently. Because I had a playlist going in the car while we were heading home, and Mossy Moss came on, the song that he talked about where you just got to blast it. And I love that song. I love that song. So later on in that playlist, Can't Hardly Wait by the Replacements came on. And that one spot where there's just a pause in the song. And then the horns kick in. And then later on, about a minute later, There's another pause. I can't wait. Those two parts of that song, I think, make that song the classic that it is. And so that's where I came up with the thought of doing a song or an episode accentuating pauses in song or emphasizing pauses that make a song great. And like for that song, for instance, is just classic. Yep. Using the pause as part of the instrumentation of the song.
It's a great topic, Mike. It really is. And I'll tell folks, Mike has put together a playlist that we're kind of looking at as we embark on this discussion. And I'll say this, having been in a band myself and, you know, by my own admission, very rudimentary musician. I mean, I literally do not know more than 10 chords total and have kept it that way for 30 plus years. Just because I'm not smart enough to figure anything else out.
I don't know, man. But 10 chords seems like showing off to me.
So. I've picked.
You flat it. You humble yourself.
Picked up like one every 2 years or something like that. But, you know, what I love about this topic is that there are certain things you can do in a band if you're not, you know, John McLaughlin or whoever, the most amazing Joe Satriani type players, where you can create tension and create a tension as well. And using pauses is one of those. And there are so many bands, and The Replacements, a great example, that, you know, were self-taught, started out playing punk, maybe added a little melody here and there, or even a band like The Birthday Party, right? Who just sort of came out of Australia and took over the world for a while. Use the pause so well, and it's just an incredible way to build tension in a song and also release. And also, and I'll let Mike speak to this more, you know, the most amazing thing I think about dramatic pauses oftentimes is people in the audience, if you're at a live show, who maybe don't know the song, think it's over. And they start clapping.
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to mention
they
that.
Kick
yes.
in with the rest of the song.
That happens.
I love that. I love that.
Or it immediately identifies the talkers in the crowd.
That's
too.
Right.
Yeah, that happens too.
They all look around and shut up. Yeah.
No, but it's funny. I'm going to say I was listening to Mike's playlist, and this is another one of those topics where, like, when you tell me it, I sort of struggle to think of examples, but then I see the examples, and I'm like, oh yes, of course, and then I start to think of a ton more after that, right? Yep. It's a great sort of like thought starter. But anyway,
love that.
There's one song you have on there, which is Cake, Short Skirt, Long Jacket.
Yep.
And that pause is insanely long. It's like makes you nervous as a listener.
Yeah. So if you're at their concert and the people that really don't know Cake very well, they're like, all right, song's done. Woo, woo.
Right.
Nope, yeah, and I've been to Cake shows, and people really know the words. I mean, if you've ever seen Cake, which is a band I really like, their fans sing along a lot to like 100 to 90% of the songs. Yeah. Who knows what's best? I want a girl with shoes that cut and eyes that burn like cigarettes. I want a girl with the right allocations who is fast and thorough. Attack. She's playing with her jewelry. She's putting up her hair. She's touring the facility and picking up slack. I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
And I want to say, too, there's a difference here. There's also something called the false ending, which is not necessarily what you're talking about here, where it sound that in that case, it sounds like the song has ended and then it comes roaring back up. And I think of like Born in the USA is one of those examples, right?
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's a little, that's like different
Matthew
than what
Sweet,
we're talking
Matthew
about here.
Matthew Sweet does that.
Yes. Yes. Sick of Myself does that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where he sort of counts back into the song. It's almost like a little, you know, like repeat, keep the audience going. It's a James Brown sort of technique, right? Keep the song going, right? Yeah.
But anyway,
but that's a different thing. This is like baked into like the song proper, generally, not always at like at the end, where there'll just be this like this long, this pretty significant pause. Everybody stops. Everybody starts up again. It is a great effect.
Totally amazing. And also, you know, the length of the pause, it, you know, has a lot to do with how much tension it builds up, how much release there is. Sometimes just a really short one is great, you know, because you're just like, you know, one quick breath in and then you release again. But to be able to do that, it's pretty hard.
So, Mike, give us a few examples of some of your favorites.
We had a band at the brewery. I've been trying to get this band at Copper City for 3 years now. They're a Rochester-based band. They don't typically travel too far east, and most of their shows are more in the Rochester-Buffalo area. And I've been hammering their manager to come play at Copper City for 3 years. I finally landed them on Friday night, and they have this song called Waste Away.
Nice.
That it just got a little teeny tiny brief pause.
Yep.
In at like a minute 15 or so, minute 13 or so. But the way they incorporate that pause, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like a huge pause, because the term that I call, you know, I called my playlist Hail Caesura.
Yeah.
A caesura, according to the all-knowing Wikipedia, is defined as any interruption or break, the slightest perception of silence, all the way up to a full pause. Hmm. So I would consider this little break in Waste Away by Dirty Pennies. It's just a slight pause, but it just is just slight enough where it just adds to the song, where you're just like, you just stop. They all just stop playing for just a brief second. Hmm. And then, boom, they just launch into the song again. So that song is one of my favorite songs. I've listened to that song in the past month probably 50 times. I just love that song. It's just a great rock and roll song. And I think that little pause at that minute, 13 minute 15 mark, whatever it is, just makes the song what it is, you know, aside from the riffage in that song. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, that song is a great example for me. But Freedom by Rage Against the Machine, that part right before it's about halfway through the song, where it just the whole song just kind of starts slowing down a little bit, and you hear Tom Morello just kind of slow noting the song, and then it just kind of, it doesn't come to a complete pause, but then you just hear Zach DeLaRocca whisper,
"Anger is a gift,"
and then yeah. It just busts into the end of the song. That's and right. it just makes you just want to just go nuts, and that right there is fantastic. I love that part of that song.
Very cool.
And then Improper Dancing by Electric Six.
Yeah, that's a cool tune.
Great song.
Not a whole lot of people know who those guys are, yeah. But like when I first discovered who the White Stripes were and who Jack White was and everything, I started looking into the Detroit scene, and the Electric Six were part of that Detroit scene. And, you know, they were just having fun, you know. They were like disco mixed with rock, and
yep.
in their song Improper Dancing, immediately into the song, 11 seconds into the song, there's a short guitar intro. It's kind of like a Nile Rodgers intro for Chic, and then there's a pause, and then the singer Dick Valentine, he just does this like weird noise. He's just like, nah. And then the bass line kicks in, and then they just crank it, and then another pause at 2:50 in the song, where Valentine he just stops the song himself. He just goes stop,
continue.
And it just makes you want to just boogie. throughout the rest of the song.
You know who else did that dramatic pause with the word stop? MC Hammer.
Yeah.
Stop. Hammer time.
Yes. So yeah, I was, you know, I was feeling kind of guilty for not looking deeper into the music history of the pause, because most of the stuff that I was putting on that playlist was mainly the stuff that I was listening to in the early 90s and mid 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's basically, you know, my era, our era, yeah, type stuff, where I'm sure there's hundreds more songs that incorporate that thing into their music.
I'll tell you, Mike, when I first learned that we were going to talk about this topic, a song on your playlist came to my mind. Which one do you think it is?
I'm looking at the playlist.
Waiting Room?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Bam. That's it. That came right to my mind. I was like, Waiting Room.
Yep.
Yes. It's on here. Yep. Yeah. Because one of the greatest. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. That tension is fantastic. Such a great tune, and so many good ones on here. I also think that, you know, an interesting one is Divine Intervention by Matthew Sweet. I love the pauses in that song, right? It's just incredible. You know, as if you're waiting for Divine Intervention, and there are these pauses, yes, where you're like, please. You know, you hold your breath for a second, but man, it's so good.
Yeah, and some of them, you know, that you really gotta listen for the pause.
Yep.
I mean, it's not technically a full pause. There may be, you know, some vocals in the background or a little bit of instrumentation in the background.
Yep.
So yeah, I kind of gave myself a little leeway putting that playlist together, but it's still kind of just like completely slowing that song down and then boom, bringing it back up. And that's what I love about that. Incorporating that into a song.
So a couple of things I want to say here. I'm looking at your playlist here, and you have 29 songs right now, and I'm sure listeners will add to this. But I mentioned the idea of a pause that starts with the word stop, and that would be also Jane's Addiction. Stop has that same kind of thing, right? Yep. Oh, Personality Crisis. I thought that was a great one, too, because that actually kind of takes the James Brown sort of technique where he, like, sort of stops the song.
Yeah.
And then kind of, like, you know, starts it back up in this kind of soulful way. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
That's a great move.
Yep.
Now, can I add to the list?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
I have two examples that I just thought of today.
Okay.
And again, you know, give me some more time. I'll think of probably many more, but it's like, it's one of those things that you can't search for so easily. Like I can't go into my...
Not really.
Like Spotify, you know, favorites and search pauses in songs. It's not going to turn up anything. So anyway, it's, you got to think about it over time. But one that we just did at the night one, Suburbs Fest, myself and Mike Wagner, was this Black Crowes song called Seeing Things.
Yeah.
Mike and I really had to practice the dramatic pauses. That was one of the things, of course, when you're playing with somebody else. That's hard. You know,
That's the thing that amazes me about these types of songs is you got to get the entire band, you know, no matter how many people are playing with you, you got to get them all to stop at the same time and then restart at the same time. And that in itself is just
practice. Yeah. You all got to feel it together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and to, you know, get you know, 6 or 7 people to make eye contact when you're on stage. Like, you guys know there's a boss coming up, right? You know, that's not easy. That's a great point too. You know, when you do something like that, you have to make sure you can replicate it in all situations. Not always easy.
So one other one I thought of just a few minutes ago, one of my favorite songs ever is The Seeker by The Who.
Oh, great shout, Jim.
Investigating Miles. I'm a seeker. I'm a really desperate man.
And you know how it just...
Why did I not think of that one?
You know how it just stops right before the guitar solo there? There's like a stop.
I'm so ashamed of myself for not bringing
Pete Townsend's
that.
Guitar. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yep.
Well, you can add it. You can still add stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm just ashamed of myself for not adding it originally.
Shame on you.
I'm a Who fan.
Well, I'll tell you guys, the one, after thinking about it like Jim, the one I thought of that maybe was, you know, one of my first, you know, really deep experiences with a pause in a song. And certainly I've been in cars with people singing along to this on a drunken Saturday night or whatever, is Rosalita. At the very end of Rosalita, there's a part where they go, "Everybody sing!" Right? Everybody sing! Rosalita, jump a little lighter. Rosalita, right? And there's that little pause at the end after there's been this wild, sprawling, you know, late night epic about trying to get a girl to crawl out of her window or crawl up her chimney to party with you. And then you have this stop at the end, and then just, you know, right at the end, I've always loved that.
But again,
yeah, that's a good example.
That's another sort of James Brown kind of technique. Again, you know,
you've been doing it all night, and everything suddenly stops, and you keep doing it. Yeah. Put the cape on me. I'm going off stage, dragging back on stage. One more time. Yeah, it's amazing.
I keep bringing that up.
It's a little bit more of a dramatic pause. Right.
I keep bringing that name up because to me, James Brown is the master of the negative space, you know?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't have any James Brown on my list.
Well, there's a lot of examples. And again, it goes back to, you know, what do you consider long enough to be a dramatic pause, right? And how does that fit in? I mean, if it's a basic stop start, you know, Bo Diddley rhythm, maybe that's not, doesn't really count as a dramatic pause. But if it's something like, I don't know, the most overblown example I thought of was The End by The Doors, right? You know, where it's got that famous sort of Oedipus kind of thing. I guess, you know, anytime you're talking about a topic like this, I think it becomes either number one, you have rules, or number two, it's just your personal interpretation.
Right.
I think we go with the latter pretty much all the time.
Yeah. And that's where I went with this.
I think it's the way to go.
No, it's obviously a fluid list.
But also, it's an amazing list of songs, which to me is really interesting. I mean, some of the tunes on here are incredible. I Am the Resurrection by the Stone Roses. Great song off their only good album, I guess. I can say that. Electric Six.
And that comes late, too. That's a long song. That's like an 8-minute song.
I love that.
That comes late in the song.
That's
like five and a half minutes in.
Final Solution by Pere Ubu is amazing. Another one of my favorite songs of all time. Monkey Wrench is a great example, right? Where you have that tight little, you know, pop tune. And Corona by the Minutemen. That's another great example, too. Amazing. Totally amazing.
But Frank Muffin has one.
They do.
Yeah, Frank Muffin has one in what the heck's the name of that song?
Rubenesque.
Played it the other night. Rubenesque.
Yep.
It's very brief, but it's very effective.
Love it.
And you have the Breeders' Cannonball too. That's another good one too.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of pauses in that song.
Love
that
too.
Yeah. Cool. That's a great topic.
Amazing topic.
You know, it's time for the community to assemble, like the Avengers assemble, and tell us your examples of dramatic pauses in songs, and we can continue to build up Mike's playlist here.
Community, assemble, form shape of ice ladder.
The ice ladder. That was the Wonder Twins.
The Wonder Twins. The ice ladder was so effective.
Yes.
That was DC. That wasn't Marvel.
No,
that was the DC universe. That was
one of the goofier things ever.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. Yes. That was Wonder Twin Powers Activate.
That's right. Wonder Twin Powers Activate. Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So the way you can make suggestions for the Dramatic Pauses playlist is, well, you could go to social media. That'd be pretty easy. You can go to our Facebook or our Twitter or Instagram. You can find those all at Suburbs Pod, and you can just put the song right in the comments, right? You
yep.
do that. You could email us, rock@suburbspod.com. You could open up the window and yell. You might hear it all the way in Rome if you're right. loud enough, all right?
If you're loud enough.
That's a good way to go. I think there's... it's cool enough now, you can probably bring out the flaming arrows without, you know, too yeah. much destruction.
Yeah,
right?
I think it'll be all right. Yep. We're getting yeah. into the rainy season.
We've had plenty of rain in okay. Rome, so we're yeah. we're
everything's
good
pretty
on that,
damp.
So.
Yep.
I think those planes that fly the banners behind them, they're going pretty cheap now because it's not beach season. So you could do that. Right. Fly one of those by with the name of the song. Or you can call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. There you go. All right. Thanks very much, Mike.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
This is going to be one that I think is going to make this playlist about 10 times longer than it is. That's going to be great. But, man, 29 songs. What a great start. It's really
it's
great.
It's a great start.
Oh, I listened to it today, and I was actually about halfway through my second listen because I enjoyed it so much when we had to start recording. So, thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
That was great. Okay.
Also, no reports of a crucifix has fallen off the wall during the playing of this play. We don't know yet.
I currently have no crucifixes on the walls in this house.
Safe move. Yeah, just to be safe. Yeah, you don't want to tempt right. anything. That yeah.
His insurance won't allow it anymore.
That's right. We're getting close to Halloween. You got to be kind of careful.
Anyway, all right, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Coley.
All right, and we'll talk to you all later.
Community, assemble, form shape of ice ladder.